Welcome everybody to the City Rev Life Podcast. I'm your host Jeremy, and we've got Pastor Josh here with us. We're going to be kicking off a new series on apologetics. So we're going to be talking a lot about what it looks like to defend your faith, its purpose, why it's so significant, and giving strategies and applicable steps on how to navigate through conversations. Just because, you know, defending your faith, it can be challenging at times.
Absolutely. I mean,
you don't know really who you're, communicating with. You don't know what they're experiencing. And just some questions, it's like, man, what's the answer? How can I, share this? So Josh, if you don't mind just opening up and explaining what apologetics even is.
Yeah. So if you've been walking with the Lord for any amount of time, you've probably come across those kinds of conversations where either they're asking questions about your faith, maybe they're even attacking your faith, or it's just a friend that you're wanting to communicate and share your faith with. All of those, we would oftentimes put it under the banner, if you will, of apologetic conversations. Now, where does that word come from? It's originally apologia in the Greek, and it literally means defending your faith. And people will oftentimes add in the through debate or systematic argumentation. I think biblically we would say no. There are passages in Scripture that encourage us to defend our faith, and you want to do so wisely. But as we will see in just a few moments here in Scripture, it's not necessarily an offensive thing. It's more of a defensive thing. But it's also important. We want to share our faith. We are called to share our faith, and we want to do so with wisdom, with discernment, and even with logic.
Yeah.
And so just an example that I have recently thought of just in regards to apologetics and I think the heart behind it. We were in Alaska going through a fjord. You know what a fjord is?
I have no idea what
I didn't either before this trip. It's actually spelled really weird too.
Is it F-I-O-R-D?
It's F-J-O-R-D.
Wow, yeah. I was so off.
It's weird.
I was so off.
Couldn't pronounce it even when I saw the word. It's beautiful. What it is it's a body of water that goes between two mountain ranges. So it's gorgeous. And we're going through on a cruise in Alaska, and we started passing a lot of what I thought were icebergs.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've seen Titanic. All right. I'm panicking a little bit. They seem small. They seem harmless, but I think we're okay. And I asked one of the workers there, and they're like, oh, no, you're fine. That's sea ice. Like, oh, what's sea ice? And like, oh, it's just bits and pieces of ice falling off of glaciers or icebergs. So they're small. They're harmless. The boat can go right through them. Not a big deal. Well, in a few moments, after that, the captain announces, oh, we're going to actually turn the ship around because it's too dangerous for us to continue forward. And as they're turning the ship around, I looked beyond and saw a iceberg, right? And now we know icebergs, they're bigger beneath the surface, right? And so they must have determined, no, it's getting too thick. Those icebergs there look too large. It would be dangerous for us to continue. I say all that to say, when it comes to apologetic conversations, there's oftentimes so much more beneath the surface that if we're not careful, if we don't ask questions, if we don't ask the right questions when engaging in these conversations, we may miss it altogether. It may not be fruitful. It may not be helpful. And we may not be able to approach that conversation with the heart of Jesus and how Jesus would want us to approach those conversations. And the distinction I'm trying to make there is sea ice might be those simple questions. Maybe they're literally asking, what is the gospel? Or it's something like they see something in you and they're like, how are you not afraid right now? Why do you have so much hope in life? It's like a super straightforward conversation, in which case the boat can go right through it. You're like, let me tell you, let me share it with you. Let's have that conversation. And sometimes it's an iceberg. Sometimes there's so much more going on beneath the surface. Sometimes it's the, hey, why does God allow suffering? And if we just answer that question with faith at its face value, and we start giving our apologetic response to why God allows suffering, we might completely miss it. Because usually when I get that question, it's, I am going through so much right now. I have so much pain. I'm going through so much suffering that the only question that comes to the surface, that emerges to the surface is, why does God allow it? They don't need an apologetic response. They don't need a debate. They don't need systematic argumentation on, no, really suffering proves the existence of God. They don't need all that. They need love. They might need some hope right now. They might need a lot of care right now. And so when we talk about this topic of apologetics, I think it's important to frame it with, we don't know where people are at. Mm. And it's important to understand where they are at before we begin our response. And so the passage we're going to draw on, and we'll take this podcast to introduce it, and then the next one to continue and do it deeper.
I have a question real quick, just please. Before we go into the scripture.
Sure.
You had opened up saying, you know, when it comes to apologetics, defending your faith, it must come from a defensive approach than an offensive approach.
Yeah.
And I'm interested because depending on which approach you take, it can be fruitful or you can be unfruitful.
Mm-hmm.
Where, let's say on the offensive side, you may be so concerned with giving them the answer without giving them the answer they need in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you distinguish of like, okay, I'm coming at this from a defensive approach rather than an offensive approach and like kind of vice versa?
Yeah. Oh, that's a great question. In one of the episodes, we're actually going to get really specific, really practical on that. But I think just for now, the best way to distinguish that is the question they're asking. Are they asking you questions about what's going on in your life or about what's going on in their life? Or are you seeing something in their life that you're wanting to approach in a conversation? And here's what I mean. Sometimes we'll see somebody struggling with something. They're making a decision. They're making a choice to go down a particular route in life, a path in life. And oftentimes we'll use apologetics, a defense of our faith, right, to go then and convince them to not go down that path, to not go down that route in life. When they don't need a logical argument, they don't need a debate about scripture, they don't need a debate about who Jesus is. No, they may even know those things. They're just making a choice. And so in that case, being offensive with our faith or apologetics can actually do more harm than good. Because they don't want to hear more convincing. They've been convinced. They may even know the truth. It's a decision that they're now making. And so connects to the sea ice versus iceberg conversation, like, what's really going on beneath the surface? Where's the heart at? And again, we're going to get really practical.
Okay.
We're going to play out conversations in a future podcast. But 1 Peter chapter 3 is where I think we need to start, because this is the verse that everyone points to when we talk about defending our faith.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you want to read it there. We'll do verse 14 and like half of verse 15. You want to go ahead and read it for everybody there.
Yeah, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 15. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you.
All right, let's start at the end of that passage you just read there. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you. I think it's important to realize, to understand, Peter is saying, be ready to make a defense to anyone who asks you. This person is asking you for the hope that is in you. So he's saying, people are going to ask you. People are going to see something different in you. People are going to notice something about you that's different, that's going to compel them to ask questions. They're going to ask questions about what? The hope that is in you. Now, we know hope is not something you can see, right? Like it's there's going to be symptoms of the hope that they're going to see that's going to compel them to ask questions. Well, what are those symptoms? He tells us here. The first one is have no fear of them. Your enemies, your adversaries, the people that are questioning your life, the people, maybe even their friends, but they're questioning things, they're wondering. Maybe it's not even malicious. They just have questions, but have no fear. That's the first one. The second one is nor be troubled. So the two fruits of your hope he's calling out here are that you're fearless and that you are not troubled. And then the third one is, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. So you're fearless, you're not troubled, and you honor the Lord as holy. That those are the three things that people are going to see, which is the reason for your hope. Mm. What's he saying? Well, he's saying the world is fearful. Why? Because their hope is in other things. They're afraid of losing their home. They're afraid of losing someone they love. They're afraid of people not liking them, hating them, having adversaries themselves. There's so many things that our world puts their hope in, which result in fear. But because our hope is in what? Jesus. Your hope is to honor the Lord as holy. We have a hope that surpasses all understanding for them. We have a hope that leads towards this kind of fruit, that we are fearless. It's a hope that cannot be taken away from us. There's something different about us. And we're not troubled. We don't have, if we're following after Jesus, we shouldn't have a fear or a trouble in this world. Why? Because we know God works all things together for good, that he is ultimately in control. And so they're seeing this in us. And so it compels them to ask questions. So let's draw it out here. He's saying we're honoring Christ. So that leads to hope within us. And that hope within us leads to fearlessness. That fearlessness leads to people asking, what is in you? Like, how do you have no fear? How are you not troubled? Even when you're going through hard times, even though you're suffering, even though things are going great, you have no trouble in the world. You're not fearful. So they're asking those questions. Then he says, be ready. Then you give that defense. Then you be ready to give reasons for the hope that is in you. Well, what's the reason? He says it, Christ. He's pointing to Christ. That is the sole reason for the hope that is within you. He is who you are honoring with your life. He is the reason why you're fearless. He is the reason why you don't have any trouble. And Peter, throughout this entire letter, all of 1 Peter, is painting that picture for us. He says in 1 Peter 1 that he made manifest for us. Jesus came down for us. He came down to earth for us. That in 1 Peter 2, that he died for us. 1 Peter 1, again, that he rose. 1 Peter 1, 3, he's talking about how he reigns. And then he's in 1 Peter 1 again, that he's going to return. So he came, he died, he rose, he reigns, he returns. 1 Peter 3, that we're going to live all of eternity with him. And then that everything turns out for good. So all throughout 1 Peter chapters 1 through 3, he's painting the reason for the hope that is in us. It's Christ. Christ, that he came, that he died, that he rose, that he reigns, that he returns, that we will live forever in eternity with him one day, and that everything turns out for good. That pretty much covers all the bases, that we have hope in Christ, and that we have every reason to live this life fearless, without trouble, without fear, and trying to do our best to live a life that's honoring to Christ.
Okay. So it's people noticing the Christ in us. It's people noticing that our presence is different. Mm-hmm. We talk different, we act different. And that kind of gives them a cue of like, you know, what is it about this person that makes them this way?
Yep.
And then when they ask, that presents a wide open door to then give them the truth of why. that it is because of Christ. That's what you're saying?
Yep. And that's why Peter is saying, be ready to have a defense. Be ready to give a defense, reasons for your faith. Because if you're living a life that's honoring to Christ, if you're living a life where you're pursuing Christ, then these are the things that they're going to see in you, that you're fearless, that you're not troubled by things, and they're going to want to ask.
Yeah.
Friends, family members, neighbors, coworkers, they're going to see you are living a life that they can't reconcile. It's otherworldly. It's something they can't understand.
Okay.
And they're going to seek to understand. They're going to ask questions. And that's when we have to be ready.
Yeah.
That's when apologetics comes in, and we need to be ready to give the defense of our faith. We need to be ready to have those conversations. And it starts with Jesus.
Mm. So one of the responsibilities being, like, I mean, according to 1 Peter chapter 3 in these verses, like, the responsibility of making sure, like, I am a reflection of Christ wherever I go.
Mm-hmm.
And also, behind the scenes, in my own time, I'm getting ready for those moments, if they happen, if they don't happen, but I'm still, like, ready. Like, I still know the truth. I still know the word. Yep. I still know I'm familiar with his promises.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, being prepared, would you say?
Yeah, that's the call to action for us. Always be ready. And then I think maybe what could be convicting for us in this passage, and it has been in the past for me, is when's the last time someone asked you for the defense of your faith? And if no one's asking you that, then you might want to prayerfully consider, are you living a life where people are seeing a difference in you? Are they seeing that hope within you? Or, to be frank, are you indistinguishable from this world?
That's a very good point. And there's a passage in 2 Timothy chapter 2 where it talks about that, where Paul to Timothy, he's saying that if you would cleanse yourself, if you would cleanse yourself from your sinful nature, you become a vessel of honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master, being God, and ready, like we're saying, for every good work.
Right.
So it's being different, being set apart, where God is able to use us. Correct?
Yeah. And it's not a call to be perfect. It's a call to follow after Jesus.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, and if there's a lot of fear in our world right now, the world's going to end. The economy's going to collapse. The housing market's going to pop, or it's never going to come down. And so, like, there's a lot of fear around finances, a lot of fear around wars, which leads to a lot of troubles. People are worried about their livelihoods and losing what they have, or not living the life that they expected, or not having the comfort that they wanted. Like, there's so much going on in our world around us. Do we look just like that? Are we succumbing to the fears and the troubles of this world, or are we living a life that's honoring to Christ? We're seeking to live after him, which the result of that, the fruit of that, is a fearlessness, is a lack of trouble. Because we know it's all in his hands. We're no longer worried. We're no longer fearful because God is in control.
Yeah.
There's fruit there. And the fruit that they see, they're going to call it into question.
That's a really good point.
It leads to beautiful gospel conversations that we then need to distinguish. All right, is that sea ice or is it an iceberg? Which is for the next couple podcasts. What's the heart behind it? Why are they asking this question? And how can we engage in that conversation with them?
So Josh, before we close, I just have one more question. What would you say to the person who, you know, maybe reflecting Christ, and they prioritize their relationship with him, and they do elicit the joy of the Lord and just his goodness everywhere this individual goes, but they're not surrounded by like non-believers.
People in the world. They're not getting that question.
They're not getting those questions.
Yeah.
So what would you say to that person?
That's a great question. I think two things. One, we as believers have to be careful with living in a bubble, because we can do that. We can choose to, you know, Sundays we go to our church, and then Monday through Friday, maybe we have kids and they're in a Christian school, or maybe we don't have kids yet and we just have our workplace. Maybe we even work at a church or work at a Christian organization, and then we have our Christian friends on the weekends and stuff. And that's all great. That's awesome. But if we're not careful, we can end up in a bubble. And so I would say there are always opportunities to engage in our world. Because even for that person, maybe you have kids. Maybe they're not in Christian school. Well, all the moms and dads of the other kids in your kid's school, chances are a lot of them aren't saved. Your kids are on a soccer team with other kids, and you're going to see the other parents every game and every practice. And don't waste that time. Mm. Engage those other parents. If you work at a workplace that's not Bible-believing workplace, which I would say are probably most of them, engage in your coworkers' lives. Engage in friendships with them. And then probably the easiest one are our neighbors. Mm. If you haven't had that a gospel conversation with someone in a long time, maybe, and I'm guilty of this, you get home, you walk out of your car, you lock the door, you go inside your house, you lock that door. You know, that's the extent of your life in your neighborhood. Maybe you have your kids play out front for every now and then, start meeting some of your neighbors. Mm-hmm. Maybe you go and hang out and knock on some doors, hang out with some neighbors, meet some new friends, like engage our world. Don't retreat. And just living your life. You know, I think evangelism is a spiritual gift. Not everyone has it, but everyone should be ready to give a defense for our faith. And if we are engaging in friendships and relationships with people who are in our world, we will be some of the best friends, best coworkers, best family members that they could possibly imagine. And it inevitably will result in them asking questions about our faith and for a reason for the hope that is within us.
Yeah, I like how you touched on, you know, not everybody is gifted to evangelize, but everybody does need to be ready.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like you're saying, to make use and be intentional, not forceful, not offensive, mm-hmm. offensive, coming from an offensive approach, but taking the time to even ask the Lord, God, open the opportunities.
Yeah.
Present to me my neighbor, my coworker, like stir up a conversation there, like being intentional on not hiding, mm-hmm. not keeping in a bubble what God has so blessed you with, you know?
Yeah, and I'd just add really fast, because I know we're a little off track here, but yeah. Have a burden for the lost.
Have a burden for the lost. That's good.
Our goal, our purpose, our mission from the Lord is to go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. We're called to go and spread the name of Jesus, spread the gospel. And all throughout Scripture, we see people, men and women, who are burdened for the lost, burdened for people who don't know Jesus and don't have this hope, who do live a life full of fear and trouble. And so we should be burdened for them and want to spread the hope that we have in Jesus, because we know that is what life is all about.
That's
good.
We
want to share it with them. We have the good news. We have the gospel, and they need it.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you, Josh.
Yeah.
Hey guys, if this podcast video has been of use to you, if it's been a blessing, please like it. Please share it with your friends. We'll see you back next time on the City Rev Life podcast.
Thank you so much for listening to the City Rev Life podcast. Feel free to subscribe and leave a rate and review. We love it when you share it with your friends on social media, so don't forget to tag us at cityrev.church. If you're interested in more resources, download our City Rev Church app and follow us on social media. Have a great day.